Everybody, and welcome to Tales from the Fog. I'm your host, Casey, and with me, as always, is the amazing and wonderful Veronica. How are you doing?
Hey, man. Doing good. How are you?
I'm good.
Cool. We've had a pretty exciting weekend.
Yeah, it's been pretty good.
It was really good. It feels good to be done.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. Before we get to Scare LA, is there anything else going on?
I don't know what I'm allowed to talk about. No, I don't. Is there something that you have in mind? Because the only thing that I could think of, we're not allowed to speak of yet.
No. Just wondering what's going on in your life.
Oh, with me, like,
yeah.
Personally?
Yeah.
Oh, well, this morning I woke up and I had a slice of toast. And then I brushed my teeth. No, it's the same old stuff. I'm working, training, my arm's getting better. Almost. Oh, so it's been like it's been a cool second since we've talked on the podcast, since I had my shoulder injury.
Yeah.
Things are pretty good. I mean, I'm not a doctor, but I don't know if I need surgery. Yeah, my range of motion is I'm going to say like 85%. The pain's gone down a lot. It's feeling pretty good. After the shows, it wasn't any better or worse than it had been, you know, the day before. So I think I'm on the road to recovery. At least I hope.
That sounds good.
Yeah. Other than that, just normal, boring stuff, working and laundry and, you know, typical stuff.
So, you have a shoulder injury, and I, right before Scare LA, decided to get a knee injury.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's an exclusive club.
Yeah.
And I know you wanted to be part of it, and you deserve to be part of it. And
yeah.
Welcome aboard.
It's not any fun.
Salute. No, it isn't. But, oh, we can talk about what we were doing when you got your knee injury.
Yeah, so we decided that we were going to go the weekend before Scare LA to a skate park. And we wanted to try out some new stunts and things that we were thinking about doing and maybe getting some ideas from a cool social media photo shoot / video shoot. And so we were just kind of testing the waters on the different obstacles at the skate park and what we could and couldn't do and that kind of stuff. And sliding was fine. I didn't hurt myself sliding at all as far as I know, because after I took my knee pads off, I was running around and filming you guys and my knee felt fine.
Well, I'd like to amend that. You did hurt yourself when you had your knee pads on, but you didn't hurt your knee. You hurt your shin and your ankle.
Yeah.
Jumping into a bowl. And forgetting that there's a little curve right there.
Yeah.
And your shins decided that they wanted to do a little rail slide. That was fun.
Yeah, they got a little bloody, but that's, you know.
Ribbons racing.
Yep. So.
How do you think that went?
What?
The skate park.
It was good. I mean, I think what we need to do, though, for the video shoot is probably bring the run-ups from the ramp.
Mm-hmm.
So we can get a good waxed slide up without having to wax the ground, because we don't want to wax the ground at a skate park. So I think if we set up those run-ups towards the obstacle so you get a lot of speed and then do stuff.
That'd be cool.
I think that would work really well.
It'd be neat to someday, when we have our own little training facility, to have a concrete skate park that we can wax.
Yeah.
That's like our very own.
Mm-hmm.
Or someone, you know, has a pool that they decide to empty or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a fun day.
Let's see. As far as announcements go, the Jack the Ripper VR attraction that we did the commercial shoot for. And that opens tomorrow, I guess today, if you're listening to this on the day the podcast came out. August 31st, it opens. And I've heard good things. We've had a couple friends that went and tested it. And they had good things to say about it. It's kind of like a horror scare VR attraction mixed with like a VR version of an escape room.
There's a lot of layers there.
Yeah. So there's going to be pop-out scares. There's puzzles you have to figure out. You know, all kinds of stuff. Pretty cool.
It sounds really cool. And when we were doing the VR experience as the actors, it seemed like a really good idea because they had to talk through the scenarios for us.
Yeah, so we knew what we were reacting to.
Yeah, like the stuff that they were mentioning, I'm like, wow, that sounds really cool. So I imagine it's going to be a pretty neat experience once you do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll have to go check that out for sure.
For sure. I'm trying to think of what else is going on, if there's been any other new announcements.
The calendar's out.
Oh, yeah. SoCal Haunt List, which is the list of mostly home haunts, yard displays, smaller haunted attractions, which is amazing. I think there's over 50. And it's broken down into L.A. County, San Fernando Valley, Riverside area. So you can go to SoCalValleyHauntList.com, or you can find them on Facebook, and you can find the brochure. And they're also going to have printed brochures at various locations around Southern California. So if you see one, you can pick one up and start planning out your home haunt tour.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Do they have any bigger things on that list, or is it only the smaller stuff?
There was one or two pay-for attractions, but they pretty much stick to the smaller stuff, the things that are kind of harder to find. Everybody knows about Scary Farm and Universal and Sinister Point and...
Even Coffin Creek.
Coffin Creek, yeah. But, you know, it's a lot of the smaller things that maybe they don't have a huge social media presence or things like that, so...
That's good. It's providing a service to someone that might not otherwise have that voice.
Yeah.
Shall we talk about our weekend?
Let's talk about Scare LA. So where would you like to start? Friday, Saturday, Sunday?
Well, I want to avoid some of the minutia of getting ready, because a lot of it was basically the same as getting ready for Midsummer. But I don't know if we talked about it or not, but it was a lot of measuring and remeasuring and configuring and boring technical stuff that no one thinks is fun, including us. We didn't think it was fun either, but...
When you spin, let's see, we got there at 9, 10, 11, 12, 1, 2. We spent 5 hours just trying to figure out which area to direct the slide runway in. Mm-hmm. Because what happens at conventions and shows occasionally is there were last minute changes to the floor plan. We got shifted over about 10 feet from where our slider runway was supposed to be, and that kind of caused a lot of issues with objects that were in the way. We had a ghost train that had to turn around using, like, the last half of our runway. You know, so it was like, okay, how are we going to shoehorn our runway in? It ended up being about 20 feet shorter than it was at Midsummer.
Yeah.
We still got it to work, but you know that the sliders definitely had to throw on the brakes at the end.
Well, we were talking about it afterwards, and it almost seemed like that was to our benefit. We liked the shorter runway better because, one, we were running less distance. We were not winded at the end of our shows, and also no matter where the audience was sitting, they were able to see. So they didn't have this big chasm of space at the end of the runway. Most of which, like, it was nice to have, but we didn't fully utilize that space. And when we were forced to cut it short, it made us use the entire space. And I kind of like it better. And I was talking to Paul. He said he liked it better, too. Hmm. So we may end up going back to a smaller runway.
That would be good.
I'm down really for enjoyed that. It like that.
It's easier for props and stuff, too, because we don't have to drag them as far.
Yeah, and there is something about the fact that when you're doing distance jumping and there's a good chance that you're going to run into somebody at the end of the runway, that's kind of fun.
Yeah.
It adds an element of showmanship to it. And, you know, all of us ran into Dave at some point because he was there catching just like you were catching 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't want to talk about it too much because I don't... It was a challenge, but we got through it.
Yeah.
And everything was pretty much okay. There are some things that I could think of that I really want to talk about, but my executive brain is saying don't talk about, so I'm not going.
Well, we pretty much had the same audiovisual setup. Except this time, we brought all of our own lights. Scarily doesn't usually have access to the same kind of lighting and stuff that Midsummer has access to.
Well, they choose not to put it on their list of things to order.
Yeah, so we decided, you know, we're just going to bring all of our own stuff. So luckily, David's company hooked us up with, like, some killer lights.
Oh, yeah, David Woods for the win. He definitely made our show the show.
Yeah.
Like, as far as the lighting goes, and that board and the computer and everything, it was the complicated thing it was because of what he brought.
Yeah.
So without it, it would have been the same old show that we'd been doing years ago. Not including the video, of course.
So, I mean, the show overall, so I looked it up, Hall K, which is where all of Scarlet was this year, is only about 32,000 square feet.
Okay.
So I believe that's smaller than the Hall of Shadows at Midsummer Scream. So if you think of how big Midsummer Scream is, you have the lobby, mm-hmm. you have all the classrooms, the huge ballroom, you have the huge show floor, you have the Hall of Shadows. I mean, it just encompasses the gigantic area of the Long Beach Convention Center.
Yeah.
Scare-LA shrunk down a lot this year. And it's 50-50 on whether it was a good idea or not. I'm kind of, if last year it felt like there was nothing to do because everything, they were in a much bigger space.
But they didn't have two spaces last year.
Yeah, and they didn't have a lot of content.
Yeah.
And so it felt very sparse. This year they took probably about the same amount of content, but shrunk it down to one small floor plan, and it felt very full.
Yeah.
The only issue that I had was the noise. Like, that hall was so noisy all day that when I was driving home, my ears were humming because it was finally like, you know, it's like you're at a loud metal concert.
Yeah.
And then you're like going home and you can still hear like the after effects of your eardrums humming.
Well, that's what I hear in my head all the time because I have tinnitus and I hear the ringing all the time constantly. Yeah. So now you know what it's like to be in my head for a second. But we also didn't help with that whole noise situation because our speakers were very loud.
Yeah. Well, but the thing is like for us, you know, we do our show, it's done, but they had the mazes. Mm-hmm. They had the screening room with the big movie theater thing, and they would blast that thing just as loud as like a real movie theater.
That was really loud.
Then he had the main stage that was other performances plus all the panels. Mm-hmm. You had all the mazes. You had any vendors that had any kind of audio going on. So like all day, it was just noise, 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 noise.
That's so funny because I didn't really... It didn't register to me how loud it was in there until the drive home.
Yeah.
On Saturday night, we were in the car and we had just gotten some interesting news. So we were all like a buzz, but then it kind of quieted out for a second and I realized just how quiet it was.
Yeah.
And it felt odd. Like, where's the noise? Where's the hum?
Yeah.
You know, like there's always the ringing, but I don't count that as noise. I just figure that's always there. But it was like this weird, like, I felt like I had headphones on because it had been so loud all day long.
Yeah, it was weird. The only thing I could think is maybe they should have gotten a panel room, maybe move. But at the same time, they had all those performances, so.
Yeah, and I feel like they kind of relied on the fact that no matter where you walked, you saw that stage to get people to go to the stage.
So there were two things that I did like about that setup. So number one is they never sold out of space for a panel. So like the Universal panel, special guest Slash, who was a secret guest, you could just watch it, you know. And in fact, you could see it from halfway down the show floor. Like, you could be anywhere on the show floor, you could listen to it, almost like a podcast.
Yeah.
And then if you got to a position that you could see it, you could just stand there and watch it. You didn't have to have a seat.
Yeah, that was a nice layout.
So, I mean...
And I think they actually arranged that very... I mean, the spatial... I didn't think it was very well utilized space-wise, but at least for that, the stage was... very visible from when you first walk in those doors.
Yeah.
On the one wall. When you walk through, you're basically looking at the stage.
Yeah.
With a bunch of people in between. So that was clever, where they put the stage relative to everything else.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a lot of awkward gaps in between everything.
Yeah, they didn't efficiently use the space as well as they could have. But they actually had built mazes. They were no longer trash bag mazes. So that was a plus. I only went through two. One was that really good one with the castle facade.
Yeah.
Really amazing castle facade.
Mm-hmm.
Inside, it was just chain link with like those, you know, like those bamboo curtains?
Yeah.
They kind of zip tied those onto the chain link. So that was a lot of it. There was kind of some built stuff inside that you'd walk through, but mostly it was really cool facade and like chain link.
Why?
Why? Probably because of time, because it was gigantic.
And they only had one day. Oh, so they didn't let us start building until Friday morning.
Yeah. So I think that was why.
Yeah.
Was just probably because of the sheer size of it. They're like, let's just do something fast and easy. Huh. There was only one maze that was completely flat panels, the whole thing.
Is that the one that was kind of next door to us?
Yeah, those two. There was a small one that was right up against our slider floor, and then mm-hmm. there was the one next to it that was bigger.
Yeah.
So I went through the one that was bigger next door to it. And that one was good. It had a really good layout. I didn't get to go through when there was any actors in there. I just walked through it. It was all flat paint, not a lot of props. But there were some good spots where you could see where actors would jump out. There was a couple of those. You'd find them at like Spirit Halloween, with the little sensor pads and like the spider that pops out.
Yeah.
They had a couple of those and pretty good little hidden spots that you wouldn't, you know. Obviously, I look for the floor thing and I'm like, oh, I'm going to step on it and see what happens.
Were the lights on?
No, it was dark when I went through.
Okay.
But it was, as far as all of them, it was the most haunted house-like maze. And I don't know how many actors they had working it, but it seemed like they didn't have a huge line all weekend. Like that one, maybe it was just a people eater and they were able to get, because of the size, it was pretty big.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's why they didn't have a line, because they could just shove a bunch of people through it.
Do we know what the numbers were for the weekend?
No, I don't know.
How do you think it was, as far as their vendors, their selection and the layout and everything?
Scarily is interesting because for the past couple years, it has kind of done this weird thing that some conventions do, where you have people related to the genre of the convention, and then people like, why the hell are you here?
Like not even peripherally connected, just kind of. Maybe, you know, it's like a 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon.
Yeah, like, I mean, there was like an energy drink vendor. There was...
Which it kind of would make sense.
Kind of, but then there's like, trying to think of a good example, but I can't think of one off the top of my head.
The lady that had the corner booth with all of the bath bombs that looked like ding-dongs.
Oh, yeah, that one.
That one I had a hard time connecting to the haunted community. Other than...
The ding-dongs?
There are... Well, yeah, because there are a lot of... I love our community, but there are some lonely cat ladies.
That's
I'm
true.
I'm sure, because there are lonely cat ladies in every community. And I'm sure that they thought that those were just charming. But I thought that was odd. And also the makeup, I don't think it was very high quality makeup. It wasn't FX makeup. It was like daily wear cosmetics.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, that's right. There was like a cosmetics like.
That seemed a little too.
Get your Urban Decay, you know.
If it was Urban Decay, it would have kind of made sense. Also, it would have been a good product.
Okay, so it wasn't Urban Decay.
But it was not Urban Decay.
It was a very cheap, like Walmart brand.
It was not something I recognized, but I'm also not in the industry, so I don't know. But it seemed like the gals running the place looked like they just were hired to work a convention.
Yeah.
They did not look like haunt gals at all.
Other interesting things, they had a taco stand, which was kind of cool.
That line was always hopping.
That one was always busy. They were cooking them right outside of our break area. They had an outdoor kitchen where they were just cooking tacos all day and then bringing them in. And it was like buffet. It was like a Chipotle style. You just grab, you're like, I'll put that on there, put that on there, put that on there, pay at the end.
There was a cool vendor that sold different kinds of root beer, right?
It was a craft soda.
Oh, excuse me.
It was all craft sodas. The only problem was you couldn't just buy a soda. Like, I wanted to try sarsaparilla because I love sarsaparilla. You can't just buy a soda. You have to buy a $30 goblet, and then it gives you free refills all day, which for $30 at a convention, you know, you fill your cup four times, and it's probably the price of a soda at the
Yeah, and if you're thing. There with friends, you buy one, and you pass it around, and it's gone, and you
yeah.
get some more. It did look pretty cool, and I did see a lot of those around.
I did, too. I contemplated it because since we were vendors, they had an extra deal where you got free refills both days,
yeah,
which made it a little better. But man,
we ended up not spending any money.
$30 on a goblet that, like, the only time I'll ever get a actually get use out of it is if I happen to go to another convention and they happen to be there.
Other than you have
because
a cool
then
goblet.
If that happens, if you happen to be at a convention where they are, $5 all day refills.
That is pretty cool.
Which is a good price.
It was a cute thing. I bet a lot of people will use that for fair.
I bet
it
so too.
It had that vibe to it.
Yeah. And they had some really good ones. You know, the cheapest one was like $20. It was like an aluminum looking thing. Mm-hmm. It went all the way up to like $60 for this amazing, like pewter looking, you know, amazing old.
Yeah. I it had even, like something etched in it.
Yeah.
On the sides.
It was really cool.
Yeah.
But
it was a nice little novelty thing that, you know, if you're throwing money around at a con like you usually are, that's a fun place to throw it.
Yeah.
Not nearly as many apparel vendors as last year.
No.
Last year felt very apparel dominant. But
it
this
was.
Year, I think that
yeah.
a lot of folks, like, I did see some familiar faces, but not nearly the amount of last year.
No, last year was like, you know, your.
It was mostly
apparel.
Like, it felt
apparel.
Like we were walking through a swap meet.
Yeah.
That was,
this year, I mean, overall, I guess there was a good balance of different kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
They kind of got rid of that alleyway of celebrities.
Yeah.
And they had right. them kind of a little more scattered out.
All right. I'm going to say something that's kind of dickish, and I apologize. What celebrities were there?
Linda Blair.
She was across the way from
she
us.
She was right across the way from our booth.
But that wasn't like, okay, so you're saying that they're not in an alley, that they were all kind of spread out.
Yeah, because last year at Scare LA, they literally had one aisle that was just like celebrities.
Like the lonely aisle when you walked down.
And nobody was on
you.
It. And if you happened to go down, every celebrity was just staring at you, waiting for you to come and spend $30 for a signature.
Oh, no.
You know, and it was very, very awkward. And
the
I think spreading them out a little bit was a much better idea.
The line for Linda Blair was always popping.
Yeah. And then one aisle over from her was somebody from...
Oh, the big guy from...
God, what?
He's a big dude.
Yeah.
But what movie was he in?
I keep wanting to say Dan Friedman, but that's the VO dude.
No, that's
know.
The VO guy.
It's something like that, though.
Oh, my God.
Well, anyway, yeah, he was over, and then closer to the taco place was Bob Gurr, and he was signing those blueprints for the Doom Buggies, which was
those
awesome.
Really cool.
Like, of all the people I would have actually paid to get a signature from, would have been him.
Yeah.
And just having, like, the actual patent blueprint of a Doom Buggy is pretty cool.
On its own, that's a really cool thing to
yeah.
have.
Yeah, and it was $30 for the picture, which is an amazing, beautiful picture, and it included his signature.
That's cool.
So, good deal there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Lots of artwork this year.
A lot of artwork, yeah. Not a lot of special effects makeup, like you said. I didn't see any mask vendors.
I don't remember, but there was a section I did not go to. The one, when you first walk in, the wall on the far left, I did not go down that wall. So I don't know what was over there. The only makeup was, it was like FX makeup, and it was EI, I think?
Yeah, that's the school. Okay. And all they did was makeup demos. They didn't sell any makeup.
Yeah, so it didn't feel very industry-centric.
The other interesting thing was the Queen Mary was there. They had a themed bar, but it wasn't really Dark Harbor-themed bar. They had a small little section that was kind of dedicated to Dark Harbor, and the Queen Mary sliders had a little booth, but they were told they were not allowed to dress up
yeah,
at all. And then most of the other bar was about having weddings. They had like posters about weddings, special events, the different tours they give at the Queen Mary.
So it was more Queen Mary centered.
Staying at the hotel, all of that kind of stuff. So
we know who paid for it, basically.
Yeah, it wasn't Dark Harbor really at all.
That's unfortunate. Because Dark Harbor is such a big part of...
Yeah, and there was no Dark Harbor characters like the captain or Graceful Gale or none of them were there. You know, but alcohol, so it was packed all the time.
There were a lot of people. Also, a place just to sit.
Yeah, they had most of it was just like a big lounge with awesome couches and stuff where you could just sit down for a bit, have a drink.
I saw one lady nursing in there. I thought that was completely endearing. She's like, I need a break. I need to sit down.
And the baby needs a drink.
Baby needs a drink. It was really interesting. It felt really, it did feel small and compact. Like one lap around the place was pretty much what you needed to get the job done. But just like with any other con, I'm not there to enjoy the con as a guest. We're there to get work done.
Yeah.
So we definitely got work done.
Yeah, we had. I mean, so here's the thing. Like, Midsummer Scream's like the big one, right? Mm-hmm. It's almost like a job where it's like we have to stick to this schedule because there's so many other things going on at Midsummer Scream. Like, we have to start here. We have to end here. It's just very structured.
Yeah.
Scare LA, being the way that it is, it wasn't really structured at all. And that actually gave us the opportunity to do some stuff that was a little more improvisational and goof off a little bit more with the fans. We had the slider clinic being able to have the little kids come and slide is always fun. Mm-hmm. And so that made it worth it in the fact that we kind of, the big one was done and now we can blow off steam and goof off a little bit and have a little bit of fun.
Mm-hmm. It definitely had the vibe where when you walked into the Hall of Shadows, it was, oh, game on. It's Halloween time. Like, it's, you know, on this, I don't want to call it serious, but they take it a little bit more seriously. Like, they really mean it when you walk into that Hall of Shadows. Like, you're going to see some scary shit.
Yeah.
But at Scare LA, it felt more like a little bit more jovial, a little less refined, and more laid back. Mm-hmm. So we were able to kind of absorb that feeling and be a little bit more laid back. And I felt like our shows were a little bit more loosey-goosey. I mean, the shows were crisp, and they still went off the way they were supposed to go, but even the segments within those shows were just a little bit more relaxed. I mean, I feel like it was a bit of a different performance.
Yeah.
From before.
Let's see. What else? The lovely and wonderful zombie ballerinas back.
Yeah.
And the first day, they were supposed to perform on the main stage, and they came as kind of like a hey, we're here sort of thing. They did one performance on our slider floor on Saturday, and then they did their other two on the main stage. But they realized they didn't like the main stage as much because they didn't like the tech over there as much, I guess, and they liked our lighting better. And so they came and talked to me and were like, can we just do all three of them on the slider floor? And I was like, yeah, sure, whatever. Mm-hmm. So they were kind of our opening act. Every show on Sunday, they came 15 minutes before, and they entertained the crowd who were waiting for the slideshow, and it just works out really good that way. Having a little something for people that are sitting there waiting to do, and it's not very long, you know, like 5 minutes maybe. Mm-hmm. And it's just cool little thing that happens.
Yeah, it's just a weird, unique, fun little thing that's really pretty to watch. And like you said, it kind of fills in that time while people are holding their place before our show.
Yeah.
But it's similar enough to our show in that weird macabre performance art kind of way where it doesn't feel too much of a shock going from their show to our show.
Yeah.
And they're just really nice.
And they are.
They're very sweet.
One of these days we're going to have to go see the full show.
I know. We only see that one song from their performance.
Yeah.
So we never get to see
that. So those that don't know, they have an entire show. They've performed at the Fringe Festival in LA, and they do it in October. They're part of a ballet company, which I have them on my Instagram, but I don't know. But the show is called Sweet Sorrow, ballet, Sweet Sorrow. Yeah, I think that's it. And it's the sequel to Romeo and Juliet. So the idea is that Romeo and Juliet has died and they resurrect as zombies. And so the entire play is about them finding each other in zombie form. And yeah, it's supposed to be really, really cool.
So romantic. So yeah, Scarlet was, you know, it's wrapped up, smacked on the bottom, sent away.
Yep. We'll see if it comes back next year.
I kind of wonder. But I mean, this is also the company that we didn't have information on them until 3 weeks before their doors opened.
Yeah.
So we may not know for a really long time. But I hope that everyone who participated got out of it what they wanted. I hope the guests who went, you know, were entertained and were able to spend a little coin on something fun, enjoyed our shows, enjoyed the other shows. I mean, I want anything that's haunt-oriented, I do want it to succeed.
Yeah.
I don't want to see anything tank. But, you know, I also want to see, I want to see the community served. And I don't know. I don't know if this scratched any itches that weren't already scratched, if that makes any sense.
No, that makes sense. I think moving it out for Midsummer is probably the reason why they had a, they probably had a little better turnout because it was a couple weeks after.
Yeah.
If it was like before where it was like Midsummer next week in Scarlet, people are so burnt out that I think the attendance would have been less. But yeah, I mean, I don't, for the weekend, may, I'm trying to think of like looking at the alleyways and how full they are and trying to put in my head how many people were there every day. I want to say for the weekend, it was probably 5,000.
Sure.
People.
I have no, I don't know how those, how to even guess. I know that our shows never had more than like three people deep, but that wasn't because of lack of audience. That was because of lack of space.
Yeah.
We were performing basically up against a wall. It was an interesting thing. But, you know, we fit as many people as we could.
Yeah.
And hopefully everyone was able to see.
So let's move on.
So this evening, we had the privilege of watching on Facebook Live. Well, we watched most of it. The internet got a little wonky there at the end. But we watched the Not Scary Farm Passholder Preview event.
Yes.
And it was short and sweet, buttoned up nice and tight at an hour, hosted by Jeff Tucker, as per usual. And it was entertaining and fun and informative, and I quite enjoyed it. What do you think?
For whatever reason, Knott's can put together a whole Halloween Haunt preview event like nobody else. Like
that really makes you want to go.
The dancing numbers, the singing numbers, the whole ambiance of everything. I don't know why they haven't been able to take that package of what they can do for that and put it into a show for Haunt.
I think they're a different production team.
Maybe. But, I mean,
I know.
It's like you can see the potential. Like, just the opening number of, you know, the Forsaken Lake song and the dance routine and the music and
the costuming.
Oh, like, so you could just, there's something there that they're not utilizing during Haunt.
I wonder if I've ever seen that kind of showmanship in a Haunt, though. Maybe Universal was able to provide some of that same level of showmanship. I would say maybe Hobbs Grove was able to perform that. It was like very stage performance-y.
Yeah.
And it's hard to find that in a Haunt because stage performance is exhausting. And it's in-depth and it's complicated and technical. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to get that in an event that's going to be open for 6 hours straight.
Well, when Universal did Bill and Ted's.
Yeah.
I don't know how they ran it here in Hollywood, but in Florida, they had a... Every night they had an A cast and a B cast, and they split the performances. So A cast would be the first show, B cast would be the second show.
Mm-hmm.
And they flip-flopped, so they had a longer rest period between the shows.
So is the hour on, hour off a variation of that, when the monsters are able to work out that schedule on their own?
I don't know.
I don't know what the schedule's like anymore. But hour on, hour off seems to work because you're checked in for that hour.
Yeah.
You're on for that hour. And then you can go back and enjoy some berry punch.
Yeah.
So I took the liberty of taking some notes to make sure that we didn't forget anything. So I actually took notes on the production because we're event producers and we're into this kind of thing. So I wrote down, you know, what they did, all the numbers and everything. I'll try to skip over the dumb stuff. But basically what they did was Jeff did the fun introduction, came out of a coffin, made a couple of jokes like he does, did a great job at reading off his prompter, I thought. He did really good. Started talking about where to get your tickets, the pricing, and I didn't go into pricing, but the options for tickets. So you've got what's basically like a fast pass. They call it the Fright and Fast Lane.
Yeah.
And basically it means that you can wait in a shorter line if you pay a little bit more money. They went over a couple of things that are new for this year. You're going to be able to do rides in the dark. They said that you're going to be able to go on Sierra Sidewinder with no lights on, would make me vomit on cue. Ghost Rider, which sounds amazing in the dark. And then Silver Bullet, which I will also barf on cue if you turn the lights off and you can't find out where you're going. They went over the
thing. I don't really find like the rides in the dark that interesting.
I do because I have a really hard time with balance. And if you start flipping and spinning and you don't know which way is up, that's for me. But you handle roller coasters better than I do.
Yeah, because I mean, I've done the ones that they do at Magic Mountain in the dark. You know, I've done Batman in the dark and Goliath in the dark and whatever. And I mean, they're never really in the dark. Like, unless you're going to put it inside a building like Space Mountain, you can't really do in the dark.
That's true. You're always going to have like pathway lights and
yeah,
stars, the moon, things like that. That's true. They talked about being able to get a Scary Farm pass so that you can go every single night and only have to pay the one time. They went into some merch. They've got a new shop called the Bazaar Bazaar, which if you know the people running it, is kind of a fun little nod to the people in charge, dude in charge. We thought it was funny as hell that you can see bags on one of the shot glasses.
Yeah.
There's also going to be a cool art show called Into the Fog that has a couple of artists and some of their pieces that you can check out.
So they said it's something like 35 artists from around the country.
With 40 pieces. Very good. Yeah. Well remembered. They're going to do a haunted overlay in the VR area, which we've talked about on this podcast.
Yeah, so the VR thing's fun and it's a good price, $5.
Yeah, you can't really go wrong. It's like 6 minutes of entertainment, but it's, you know, it's themed. It's the cool zombie, shoot the zombie thing. And then you can walk a couple of feet and go into the maze that's more shooting the zombie.
Yeah.
And then go into another maze that's probably zombie.
The interesting thing is I wonder, so with VR, the one that they do normally, which is like the ghost town shooting thing with the robots.
Yeah.
The robots kind of stay a little bit of a distance from you. They don't get right up on you. And it'll be interesting to see if they allow the zombies in the game to kind of break your personal space a little more and get closer to you.
It may depend on where the programming boundaries are. Because if it's just an overlay and the all of the programming and the movement is the same, then they're still only going to go as far as they went before. It depends on how much they change.
Yeah.
So I guess it'll be interesting to see what they change. They took a moment to talk about the Haunt Build crew. And that's always cool to, like, all the techs take a break from their work. Because they're all, you know, they would be building when this thing goes on. And they all piled into the Charles M. Schulz Theater. And, you know, the camera kind of pans to them and you can see everybody there
yeah.
in their Knott's Blues. The video, we're pretty sure it was the same video as last year.
It was, yeah.
Which was really hard for us to watch because one of the people who made it is no longer with us.
Well, all the videos for the returning mazes and that video were all done by Daryl. So,
yeah, coming up on a year on that. So,
The thing about that, like, it's kind of cool that they get to do it, and it's fun, but the AP preview sold out in about 5 minutes.
Wow, really?
And they took up an entire section, so that's like another 100 tickets they could have sold, or not sold, but given away to fans.
I hear you.
And so I kind of...
But at the same time, they're not getting paid a whole lot. And so this here's gives them an opportunity to let them see what they've been working on.
Yes, but they also do several dress rehearsals. And so maybe you could have the Knott's employees go to the dress rehearsal, see all the cool stuff, and then let the guests do the AP preview.
You or could do that.
Just bring them in for that part and have them stand
and then leave. And then I think leave. They do leave after that. But those spaces are already in.
Yeah.
You can't have people fill in afterwards. But in a way, it by having them there, not only is it a service to them to get to see what's happening, even though they all already know, in a way, it's kind of a way for Knott's to flex and be like, look at our people. Like, these are our people that make this happen. Look how awesome we are by thanking them publicly. You know, because like, oftentimes, if you're going to thank someone publicly, you're kind of flexing a little bit as you do it. And that's not always the case, but I get that feeling a little, mm-hmm. just a smidge. But at the same time, I'm really glad that they're getting some kind of recognition because they work really hard. And the hours suck. And the pay's not great. It's a thankless job.
Yeah.
But so we got to see them again and see the video. At this time, they went through all of the returning mazes. So what we can do, we'll just quickly go down the list. We already know what they are. We've got Special Ops Infected, which we figured out is back for its fifth season. Red Barn is back for its...
Well, hold on. You're going a little fast here. So Special Ops, they're going to be some new scenes, and they're going to completely redo the ending.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can move on.
Okay. Red Barn on its third year.
And that one said they're going to have a bunch of new scenes as well as a new beginning.
Yep, the new opening sequence. Although I never remember... An opening sequence? I remember you
It didn't have an
maze.
Opening sequence. You just walked in. Yeah.
Yeah, you just walked into the thing. Okay. Shadowlands in its third year.
Yeah.
Anything to say about that?
No, I don't think they said anything about that.
Not much. Paranormal Inc., we're not even sure how long this thing's been there.
A while.
Forever.
Yeah, it's been a while. They did say that's going to have some new stuff in it, too.
New intro. They're in a hospital this time.
Same place.
They were at a hospital before?
Yeah.
Oh, shows how much I pay attention. Trick or Treat Lights Out in its second year of this new incarnation of Lights Out.
Like 30th year of the real
I swear to God, Trick or Treat was there when I was working there. That was 10 years ago.
Yeah, it's been there a long time.
Has it really been that long?
I don't know. I don't know when it came, if it was 08 or 09, but it's at least 9 years.
It was there when that Nut Bar, what was his name? The Overlord?
Yeah.
The Trick or Treat was there for the Overlord, and that would happen like the year or two after I left.
Yeah. So it's been there. I'm pretty sure it's like 9 total.
Good Lord. Dark Ride is back for year 2.
Yep.
Didn't sound like anything new is happening in Dark Ride.
No, I don't think they talked about that at all.
Pumpkin Eater in year 2. Which got my reaction of, oh, yeah, that happened.
yeah, I mean, best cue.
Yeah.
Meh maze. It'll be interesting to see. It sounded like some of the stuff they talked about, they didn't specifically say anything was changing in the maze, but the description of the maze had some tidbits in there that I don't remember from last year.
Yeah, but I didn't even remember it existed.
Other than the vibrator table.
I do remember the vibrating floor.
Yeah.
That was violent and upsetting. And then Halloween Hootenanny.
Yep.
Or Hootenanny.
Which is a fun little ride.
Yeah, it's okay. It's fun to look at.
Yeah.
It's the same old ride.
No line, hop in it.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah.
If you're there on a Thursday or a Sunday and it's nice and slow. At this point, they went through the scare zones. And so they started, of course, with Ghost Town. And decided to actually talk about sliders for a hot second.
Which was interesting.
Kind of surprising because I just feel like nobody likes them. Nobody likes sliders except sliders and some fans.
Well, at Knott's. It seems like they're very anti-slider recently.
I don't think it's the sliders. I think it's the ones who are sliding. Mm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think that a couple bad eggs have left a bad taste in the mouths of people in charge.
Maybe.
Which is unfortunate. And it happens in every industry. Haunt is not an exception. But hopefully in time we can raise a generation of some humble and unassuming sliders who are very talented and...
Well, I mean, that happened at Six Flags Over Texas, the crew that we trained. Some of them turned into prima donnas. And they kind of disbanded the performance group.
Yeah.
Because they decided they only wanted to do performances and didn't want to scare because they were above that. And it's like, why are you working at a haunted attraction if you don't want to scare people? Like, what?
It's not the show. It's a tool.
Yeah.
That you scare with. Yeah, when the focus gets lost, you know?
Yeah.
So, anyway, they mentioned sliders, and that was super cool. Carnival. They talked a little bit about Hangtime now being open, so those big old
construction walls are gone. And they're going to have a special lighting package on Hangtime to make it look creepy and fun.
That's cool. I mean,
so
you should.
Which is interesting since they're touting Rides in the Dark, but then they're like, this one's going to be lit up like crazy.
Well, okay, in their defense, everything in Boardwalk is lit up like crazy.
That's true.
If you were just to turn that one off, it would look like it was closed. It would look like nothing.
But I don't know if you've seen Hang Time at night. The lighting package is freaking amazing.
I haven't seen it at night. I haven't even seen it
finished. It's almost like Tron. Like, it has these lights in the track. So as the train goes, it's like the light cycles. There's like a little light that travels along behind the train.
Oh, that's cool.
So it's pretty neat. Yeah.
That is fun. Then they talked about the Hollow, which is returning in its same iteration as last year.
Yeah, they didn't talk about if there was going to be any new show aspects to it. I would like to see them progress that every year.
I would
because it ended last year with the witches getting their power back and the Wicker Man going up in fire, right?
Yeah, but that show never actually got written the whole way through.
Yeah, but it'd be cool to then start at that point. The witches now have their power, and it reverses, and now the witch hunters have to kind of steal that power away from them and figure out a storyline that goes around that.
Mr. Show Writer.
So, I mean, that's where I would be. You know, I'd want to see some progress that story. I mean, you got this amazing area.
Listen, slow down there, Sparky. I agree. I think it'd be a really good idea. But I also don't know if they think like that.
Maybe not.
Probably not. But I think I agree with you. That is a great idea. But we also have to wonder, I mean, what audience are you serving when you do something like that? Because, you're really...
It's for the APs.
It's for the dedicated fans.
Yeah, any guest that's there for one night isn't going to spend enough time.
They're not even going to see it.
Yeah, they're not going to know. But it's for the APs that are coming every night, and maybe they'll spend an entire night just in the Hollows. Like, we did that one night where we literally, like, tried to find every single show that happened and follow the story the whole way through all night.
Mm-hmm.
Just because we could, because we're like, hey, we're here on a Thursday. Let's just do it.
Yeah, we went full on AP style.
Yeah.
We were there every Thursday night. That was fun. So
before we get to the next one, let's say a little sad goodbye to Fiesta de los Muertos.
Oh, they did not say anything about Fiesta Village.
Yep, it's gone.
There is the party in Fiesta.
They're having the party this year.
Kind of looked like they were from Fiesta.
Yeah, but no scare zone. Which is sad because that was my favorite scare zone last year.
Was it really?
It was.
What about it? What was your favorite?
The actors were actually working.
They were.
They would work their butts off in there and getting a lot of scares and doing a good job. And you'd go through some of the other scare zones and a lot of monsters standing around. So I never once went through that area and saw a single monster standing around. I mean, they're always doing little things like the exorcism thing that we saw, and
they were
and
always,
there was always something going on, and it was all they figured all that stuff out. None of that was not saying try this, try that. Those characters figured out all of those things to do. And that's like kind of harkens back to old school Knots.
Yeah.
When I worked there, where we were allowed to express ourselves and come up with these ideas and just kind of go with whatever we thought would be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot more tighter restrictions on the characters now. So it was cool to see them doing that kind of stuff.
Yeah, they reminded me of kind of the scrappy underdog.
Yeah.
Where it's the kind of scare zone, kind of like where I was like, why would that one be your favorite? But now that you say that, I could see why that would make it your favorite.
Mm-hmm.
Because they worked really hard, and I think that they felt like they weren't entitled to anything. They hadn't yet earned anything. They were just working.
Yeah.
They were just working hard and having fun as much as they could, dealing with the crowds as much as they could, telling a story if they could. I mean, yeah, every time we went through there, it was popping. And never once did I walk through there and not have an attempt on me.
Yeah.
That's saying something because we...
And I didn't either, which is saying something because
yeah.
Most of the monsters never go after a guy.
No, they'll go after me.
Yeah.
If we're walking next to each other.
Yeah.
They'll always pick the guy.
And I was talking to this about... Talking to this to somebody at Midsummer Scream. I can't remember who. And I told him that I always wear my Decay Brigade shirt, especially when we go to Universal or Knott's or Queen Mary, because that instantly makes me a target. Because if they just see, you know, a dude that's over 6 feet tall walking through a maze or a scare zone, no one ever goes after you because their first instinct is like, oh, that person's going to like be trouble, right? But as soon as I put my Decay Brigade stuff on, I'm a soft target because they're like, oh, that person loves haunts. That person knows what's going on. That person's not going to mess with me. Let me try to scare them.
Oh, I see. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Cool. I always thought it was because they were trying to impress you.
That could be too. But at least they're trying.
At least they're trying.
I mean, there's a lot of haunts that I've gone to where it's like I never had a single person try to scare me the entire time. And it's frustrating because I spent money to have a fun experience and all I do is watch other people get scared.
You know what's funny is we hear that complaint a lot, like from the monsters telling stories when they scare some big dude and, you know, the big dude gets scared and says, thank you, you're the first person who's tried to scare me all night.
Yeah.
Now, I always kind of chalk those stories up to bullshit, that they're just, you know, weaving stories. And that might be the case, but a certain amount of them are true.
Yeah.
And those ones warm my heart.
Yeah. And usually when I was a talent, I would purposely go after the biggest person in the group.
I did that for a while, and then I got kicked by one of them.
Well, that's why a lot of people don't go after
them. Yeah. I stopped after that.
All right, so then let's go on to the new one.
So we got a brand new scare zone for 2018, and it is called Forsaken Lake. The intro song that we watched, I think I've heard that song before.
It was the video for Forsaken Lake. That was the music that was on it. But it was performed live at the beginning of the show.
Correct. But I heard that song at Scare LA, performed by somebody. The words were different.
So well, I think that
this is an adaptation on
it
that
is.
Song.
It is. Yeah, this is a funeral dirge.
Oh, okay.
It's a real song. Knott's guys tweaked it for the maze,
gotcha.
But it's a different it's a different arrangement, but it's that song.
So I noticed in the intro that the first thing I'm going to look at is the costumes because
yeah.
I love costumes. But it was very, I saw some early, you know, some early to mid 1800s, reminded me a little bit, and then I heard the song. I'm like, is this like a Creole New Orleans-y type
That's
thing.
What I'm feeling.
And then I kind of held on to that thought. And then when they were going through the old mazes, I noticed that voodoo or whatever it is no longer here.
Yes.
They have an opening for that genre now. They plopped it into the swamp.
And I bet you will see a lot of voodoo props.
I'm sure.
In Forsaken Lake.
I would. Hell, you got them.
Yeah.
You might as well put them somewhere. But it sounds really cool. It sounds like they've done some good character development. It sounds like they've built some storylines.
And like the Hollow, there's supposed to be little skits that play out throughout the evening. And they said there's going to be like funeral processions, and which is neat because it kind of goes back to the CS drumline, you know, all that fun stuff. So
that extra element where from the guest perspective, you're wondering, did the monsters do this or did the park do this?
Yeah.
It just draws you in just that little bit more. So once they brought out Forsaken Lake is when they started showing videos with the actual heads of production in it. So this one is a Dan Miller piece. And so we had Dan Miller as, I'm guessing he's like the main designer.
Yeah.
We had Rob Perez doing audio, and we've seen him before.
Yes.
A bunch of places. I think he's been at the farm for a while. And then Casey Gussler, who... He does wardrobe, and I don't remember seeing him before.
I think he's newer, at least since we quit Scary Farm.
Yeah. I'm looking at a decade. But it was neat to hear him speak a little bit to the history of the wardrobe and how they designed it and how they, you know, kind of the reasons for choosing what they did and creating what they did. That was a fun little bit.
Yeah.
So Forsaken Lake sounds awesome.
Yeah, I'm all in on it. It's going to be interesting to see the placement within the area where they're going to put it. If it's going to be more
just that old swamp if it's area.
That's what I was thinking about. Also, there's the Silver Bullet Mine Town area, which is a little more up front. Or are they going to make it big and encompass both?
It depends on how many actors they get in there. I mean, it could. The swamp was just that one. It basically like an outdoor maze. Just one long walkway. Silver Bullet was that whole area minus the walkway. And up until now, it's been kind of, sort of ghost town. Like, the last year that I worked there, you were only allowed to go in there for a short amount of time before you get kicked out. Like, they wanted you to be there, but they didn't want you to stay there.
Yeah.
I did not understand why. But not a lot of stuff has been happening in that area since then. So that could be a good opportunity for them to put some story there. But I think as far as the show pieces, I have a feeling they're going to be on that alleyway where, like, the bridge where the horsies are up on the top, and then you go underneath the walkway that goes under the bridge.
Yeah.
I think that's the area. I mean, I don't know, but it sounds like that's where it's going to be, where it would make sense to do the stories and stuff like that.
Well, and you have to be able to see the lake. I mean,
they talk about the lake.
Yeah. Let's be honest there. You got to be able to see the lake.
So, anything else on Forsaken Lake?
Well, it's going to be interesting to see what they do with the lake. Are they going to light it? Are they going to do anything like, I don't know if you remember, a long, long time ago at Haunt, this is like 80s, early 90s, they had like a, what could only be said as like a sad phantasmic. It was like Nightmare's laser show or something, and they would fog the lake, and then they had these lasers that would do stuff to music. Yeah. You know, it was like a Pink Floyd laser show.
No, I don't remember that at all. I may not have been attending it. It was the 80s.
But we would always watch that. I mean, back then it was a much more creepy area because you had the church and it was very segregated.
Swamp was bigger, like the lake was bigger.
Yeah, it was very segregated from any other area in the park. Yeah. Like it was, you were isolated over there at that time.
Yeah, very vulnerable.
That's
what Alien Attack was over there in that little.
Yeah, Alien Attack.
Curse of the Spider Woods after that.
No.
No?
Asylum was there. Curse of the Spider Woods was over by where Pony Express is. It was the old haunted shack area.
That's right.
Yeah.
So after they talked about the scare zones, they went into the shows. So we were hypothesizing that the reason that there are so many shows is because they no longer have to pay Elvira.
Yeah.
So guessing by the quantity, I think that we may be right. So there's The Hanging, naturally.
Which is what is it called?
It's called Shh. It Happens. I think which is funny. And the little skit was cute, too.
Yeah. I mean, the little skit went a little long.
That's the hangings. That's the tempo of The Hanging.
That is true.
It's not like you're getting a false sense of what it's like.
If you wonder what The Hanging was like,
it's exactly
like that.
Lawman showed up and shot his rifle, and Chris.
I'm excited about the magic show, and it's neat because they're going to be rotating through magicians.
It's called Conjure, and it's going to be in Birdcage.
Yeah, and so they're taking a bunch of magicians, and they're kind of, at least in September, they're rotating through, and then all of October was, who was the guy that's going to be there all out?
I didn't write down the names of the dudes.
I recognize the name. I think I've seen him in Vegas before.
It screams scheduling conflict to me, the fact that there's one on one weekend, another on the second weekend, and then the same dude from weekends 3 through 6, or 7.
Yeah.
It sounds like the third dude wasn't available in September, so they got these other guys.
But they're all from the same TV show.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're from a TV show, Masters of Magic or something like that on NBC. Mm. And so they're all people that have performed on that show.
Oh, okay.
Maybe. So there's a thematic reason to all of them being there.
That all makes sense.
Yeah. Chip Lowell. That's okay. Who it is.
Oh, yeah. I remember the last
one. He's the one that Penn and Teller on Fool Us, they talk about him. And he's the only one that can do that rope trick that Penn and Teller have no fucking clue how he does the rope trick.
Doesn't know how it happened.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's the guy.
Okay, when we go, we'll have to check that out.
Mm-hmm.
And then we spoke briefly about Fiesta Village no longer being there, but there's the dance party going on. So
yes.
When they talked about it, there was a couple of dancers in that kind of looked like samba type. It was like a little
dance. Definitely was more Brazilian.
Yeah, it was very South American, but I couldn't really identify exactly what because the lighting wasn't very good on them. And they were moving in a way that did not remind me of any one dance form.
No.
Which may not have been. But again,
they're like, just go up there and move your arms.
Just, yeah, flare around and look sexy. And they did a great job of doing that. So that's going to be, it's Awaken the Dead, and it's in this Fiesta Village area, but I'm sure none of the music is cultural in any way. It's
that's
just
going to
be like top 40.
Well, they said it's all pop, dance,
it's all been latest
hits.
Music.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that is what it is. There's alcohol nearby. And then the fourth show, which I was super excited for, is they're bringing Hacks back.
My only trepidation with this is that it's in the Charles M. Schulz Theater.
Do you think it's too big of a venue for improv?
Yes, because they did it already. Originally, Hacks was in the Birdcage.
Right.
Absolutely amazing.
Perfect, close quarters.
My favorite show Knotts has ever done.
Right.
The next year, they did it in the Charles M. Schulz Theater, and it was horrible.
Same players?
Same players.
Mm.
The size. I mean, it's all about the size of the theater. It's
that's
way
the
too difficult.
It's better when you're that close to your audience because you can read them. You can feed off them.
Yeah.
You get the ideas. You can hear them the first time.
The only thing I can think is, like, it'd be cool because I forget what the subtitle of it is, but it's something about movies.
Cutting Room Floor.
Cutting Room Floor. If they did something along the lines of Mystery Science Theater and combined that with kind of improv... Like, maybe, like, we're going to do ad-libs. Like, what's that thing where they do the bad lip reading? Like, they do something like that, but then they get ideas of what the scene is going to be about from the audience.
Sure.
And then do a bad lip reading to, like, some horror movie scene or something. That might be interesting.
That's a fun pitch.
I don't know. It's going to be really interesting. I would, if we can get everything else done, I would sit and watch it. Just
to
see
it. Just to see how they pull that off. Because I remember from my improv performance days, it's better when you're closer to your audience.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, there's only like a couple mazes that I'm super excited to see.
So what are you super? Oh, wait. Before we get into that, shall we talk about our new mazes?
Yes.
All right. So our first one is called Dark Entities.
And that will be where Tooth Fairy used to be.
Let me think about that.
Behind Paranormal Inc. Towards Warehouse
houses?
P.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
So Dark Entities is described as a space station in an unknown place that's off planet, and something goes wrong, and you wake out of cryosis?
Stasis.
Cryostasis?
Yeah,
you wake
like that.
Up from being frozen and sleeping. And all shit is hit the fan. You find dead bodies, and some alien life is trying to kill you. And then
it has a very like The Thing kind of vibe to it.
Yeah, but The Thing didn't turn people into zombies.
Well, that's the weird thing. Like, okay, so they're talking about aliens, but then they did a live theatrical thing on stage, and he had the dude from the video who was the Colonel or whoever, I don't know. I can't remember what he said in the video. Mm. But he's the spaceship dude. And then he has his other spaceship dudes, and they're acting like zombies.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, okay, are they taken over by aliens? Or are we just doing zombies in space now? Like, what's the deal?
Like, is it like brain slug type thing where they're just doing the bidding of this other thing? Or are they themselves, they're just like basically lobotomized? We're not really sure what the dynamic is with the bad guys relative to the good guys at this point.
And
why are they human? Are they aliens? It was kind of vague. And I'm sure we'll be told that story when we go through the venue. But on this very high level look at it, it was confusing as hell.
It was, yeah.
So.
And I love alien mazes, so.
I'm into it. I mean, I'm.
But the first thing, and I told you this, the first thing that I thought was like, this seems like it would have been a logical replacement for Special Ops.
Yeah.
Like if I, it would make more sense if it was like Aliens, where the ship has been taken over by aliens, and now you're going in as like, you know, the cleanup team, and you get dropped on board with your guns, and you're going to go in guns blazing, killing aliens. Like,
it would make perfect sense.
Yeah, it would have made a lot of sense. So.
Yeah, so we'll see what what that ends up being. It does look pretty, and this was the, for the two new venues, along with the new scare zone, they had a video talking about it, talking with the designers. We had Doug Castillo, we had Bill Meyer talking about wardrobe, and I think there was another guy in the video, but I don't remember who it was. I didn't write it down. So they were, you know, pontificating about production and vision and wardrobe and so on. And then our second new venue is...
Well, hold on. They talked about the lighting. So they said that last year in Dark Ride was the first time that they ever had lighting that they could completely, fully control, like actual show control lighting in the maze.
Right.
And it was about 1,000 lights, I think they said, that were completely controllable, or like 1,000 ways they could control it.
Were they pre-programmed?
Something. I'm sure they were pre-programmed. And they said the big thing in this maze is all the lighting in the entire maze is show controlled. And they said something like 1,000,000 different ways that they can control those lights. So I'm expecting some amazing lighting effects.
No shit. Well, the bar has been set. Safe to move on?
Sure.
Okay. So our final venue that has been revealed to us for 2018 is called The Depths. Now, this is a John Cook joint. So it's going to be weird and clever and probably hard to understand in the first go.
And this one's going to take over the voodoo set.
Correct. So John Cook, Tim Barham, Sam Brzyark, and Scott Erickson are the various minds that they interviewed in their video. This is, so it's a period piece, and it's a sci-fi piece, and it's a horror piece, all mixed together.
Yeah.
In this thing. So it's based in, our time period is the 1920s, 30s.
That's kind of what it felt like, yeah. Based on the radio that was in the video.
It's kind of like that Jules Verne style of fantastical, historical, futuristic kind of vibe to it.
Yeah.
As far as the storytelling goes. It's about these miners who go into this cave and find something. They basically find, like, the mutants living under New York, is from what I can tell.
They find they're supposed to be, like, these amphibious monsters or something that live underneath the town in this mine. And so the miners go missing, and basically you're going down to find out what happened to the miners.
Yeah, so it's interesting that there's – the thing with John Cook is he adds layers that don't need to be there, but you're glad they're there. Like adding a weird time period onto it, or adding an extra layer, like with the alcoholics in Dark Ride, you know, like there's always an extra layer that I appreciate that doesn't desperately need to be there. It didn't need to be based in the early century, but I'm glad that it is. And I think that lends itself to some very clever costuming and some very clever props. You know, it just kind of pulls you further into fantasy.
Yeah.
And I dig that. So it looks fun. I didn't understand it. I don't understand exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah, and they said there's three very distinct sections of the mazes of the maze.
Yeah.
So you're going to be changing scenery through the maze, at least through three areas of something. They kind of seem like they're keeping this one a little close to the chest as far as what's inside it.
I agree with you. It kind of reminded me of Flapjack.
As far as
it's that whimsical but edgy, dirty kind of aesthetic. At least what they gave us in the description and in the video and in the live vignette that happened on stage.
Yeah.
All seemed to have that kind of flavor to it. But other than that, we weren't really given a lot of information. So basically they're gambling on us trusting that because it's new, we're going to go see it, because it's Cook, we're going to go see it, and because it possibly has something involving tentacles that we're going to go see it. And they're not wrong on any of those things.
Yeah.
So we're definitely going to go check it out.
I think that's the one I'm most excited for.
I agree with you.
I'm pretty excited for the alien one.
I'm curious about the alien one.
And then besides that, those two, Trick or Treat Lights Out is always fun. The line sucks. Like, even on a friggin' Thursday, the line sucks.
Yeah, we've waited a long time for that one.
But, it's always good.
As far as returning mazes go,
I'm trying to think, like,
Dark Ride. I love Dark Ride.
Dark Ride's really good, but if they're not changing anything, I won't be completely sad if we missed it.
I agree with you, but I do like going down that adventure.
Yeah.
There's something about...
Because we did a bunch last year.
Yeah, we did it like 4 or 5 times last year.
Yeah.
At least. But it's very fun. I'm very excited to see Forsaken. Like, I don't know how often we're going to get to go this year because of our new bizarre schedule that we may have.
It's probably going to be once.
It may be once. So we may have to push it to twice to make sure we get everything so we
maybe
can put on it. But it may be once, so we'll have to prioritize. But definitely going to hit the new things, going to see all the shows if we can. And it's Scary Farm, and it's a lot of the same with a few new things. There's not really anything jarring or magnificent or about this year that we've seen so far. Even knowing what we know about the back end stuff, I just don't see anything wild happening this year. So I feel like if we don't catch everything at the farm, I'm not going to be too heartbroken.
Yeah.
I don't feel like I'd be missing a whole lot other than seeing friends.
What year is this for, huh? Is it?
Oh, shit. 47? Hold it. It's 73. It's 18. So 3, 4, 5, 6. That was 46. 46th annual.
So 4 years till the 50th.
Yeah.
Yeah. Be interesting to see what they do for the 50th.
Yeah. I mean, I hope that they're thinking about that now.
They should be.
They should be.
And just taking a little extra every year to put on the side for the budget for the 50th.
100% new mazes.
100% new? Just leveling everything?
No returning mazes. How cool would that be?
That would be awesome.
They basically had to rebuild everything anyway because of the fire codes.
That's true.
Just level it. Start over. New designers. Maybe pull back some old designers out of retirement. Brand new. Everything brand new.
What if they did all brand new, but brought back the most popular mazes of the last 50 years?
Ooh,
so like Curse of the Werewolf. They already brought back Dominion of the Dead, so, and it wasn't nearly as good as the original, but...
It wasn't. What about Lair of the Vampire?
Lair of the Vampire, maybe.
Lair of the Vampire.
So, Lair of the Vampire, Curse of the Werewolf.
I nominate the Inquisition.
Inquisition.
Oh, the best.
Maybe even something like...
What was the Toon one?
Cartoon Territory.
Yeah.
Maybe like Uncle Ernie's Madhouse, Industrial Evil.
Industrial Evil. Even the Underground.
Well, it's the same.
Industrial Evil in the Underground.
Yeah, they just moved locations and then they called it something new.
Yeah.
But...
What's funny is, like, aside from a few of those are haunts that we saw in our formidable years. They're haunts that were part of us as we were becoming who we are.
Yeah.
That may be why we think they're so amazing.
Maybe.
But I don't know, because we've read in, like, an Ultimate Haunt, on TPA, on all these different things that... Those ones are memorable. They do stick with us for something. Mm-hmm. So, and Mark, he and I might be able to understand why.
Maybe.
Beyond our own sentimental connection to them. That would be pretty sweet.
And then bring back the original Scare Zones for a year. So you have Gauntlet.
Uh-huh.
Well, CS Streets was original.
Yeah.
But we didn't say the Gauntlet because that was like really the first real Scare Zone in Camp Snoopy.
Do we really need the Gauntlet to come back?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
can we cast it with the people who were there in 1997?
let's just do the CS streets where it's like punk. Kind of like punk style.
Yeah.
Ghost Town's obviously original.
Yeah.
Maybe we can bring back the backwoods, the swamp.
Let's bring back the swamp. But again, I'm sentimental towards the swamp because, like, Ted Doherty worked in the swamp when I first met him. That's like...
And Jeff Long.
Jeff Elgin.
Jeff Elgin. There you go.
Jeff Long was still in CS.
Yeah.
Steve Bingham was there. Erica Sanchez was there.
Yeah.
When I first met her, she had that big grandma. Old squishy... No, she wasn't. That was after grandma.
Oh.
Was the big old squishy... I'm pantomiming squishing my face. She had this big green prosthetic, and she was like, kind of like lizard-like.
Oh, do you remember? Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
Oh, good times. Such good times.
Yeah.
See, now I'm excited for the season. Before, I'd only been thinking about Decade Brigade and scheduling and training and blah, but now... I'm kind of excited for the season to come.
Mm-hmm.
I'm ready. Let's see some months. Are there any other Knott's Berry Farm related things?
Knott's Berry Farm? No. I think that's it. I think that's pretty much all they covered.
Passes are on sale now.
Universal's announced all their mazes, and it was everything that was leaked. So... I was super excited for the classic horror movie Monster Maze until they announced that Slash was doing the soundtrack, and I was like, eh. Yeah. Like, Slash is great, not great for classic horror movie monsters. Like,
I will agree with you.
I don't see the connection there. And maybe they'll completely prove me wrong, but I'm just thinking back to when they did the... When they had the Universal Monster Maze, the year-round one.
Yeah.
And during Haunt, they turned it into Universal Monster Maze Remixed, and they had, like, a DJ inside that was, like, just playing, like, rave music.
With today's kids.
And I was just like, this is stupid, and it was lame and stupid, and they had, like, Bride of Frankenstein dancing on a pole, and it's just like, you know, it's just like, no.
Hey, they rolled the dice. They gave it a shot.
But... Are they rolling the dice again after something that failed so horribly?
New management team?
No, it's the same people.
Really?
Like.
Then they have no excuse.
I don't know.
Different music. I don't know.
We'll see.
Has Warner Brothers announced what venues they're going to have?
Warner Brothers has announced everything.
Okay.
They're going to have the It, Niebolt House, expanded to include the sewers and some other scenes from the movie.
Oh, cool.
They're going to have a Conjuring maze. Partly based on the Nun movie that's coming out.
I was just going to ask about the Nun thing.
They're going to have the Arkham Asylum, which is based on video game.
God damn, they've got a lot of IP.
They're going to have Freddy versus Jason at Camp Crystal Lake. So that's going to be their tram tour. So like how Universal does their little terror tram.
Yeah.
I guess they're going to do the same thing where you take the tram and you're going to be at a recreation of Camp Crystal Lake.
Is that the one over by Lot 8 where you go across the way? You, like, cross the street and there's, like, the forest where
yeah,
they shoot all their
outdoor
stuff?
Yeah, I think that's where it's going to be.
Oh, that's going to be awesome.
And it's going to be turned into Camp Crystal Lake. And there's going to be Freddy's and Jason's running around trying
that's
to kill you.
That's going to be scary as hell.
Yeah.
Oh, my
Especially because it's kind of isolated from the rest of the park. So.
Oh, yeah. You're, like, it looks like you're in the forest out there.
Yeah. It's cool.
Great.
Trying to think of other stuff that's going on. Oh, this is news that you don't even know, but I was contacted today about possibly building a haunt in Yorba Linda.
What?
So we will see what happens with that.
Where, at the park?
No.
Where at?
It's gonna be, I don't know if I can say.
Oh my goodness.
I don't know if I can say.
All right, tell me off the air. I want to know.
But, so we'll see if that comes through. I'm waiting on more information. About that.
How
so
fun.
It'd be a brand new haunt to the SoCal community.
Yorba Linda.
Yeah, brand new. New person that nobody knows about. So that's kind of cool.
That's really exciting. I love hearing about new things like that. Oh, there's a October 20th, there is a film festival, a horror film festival going on in Mission Viejo. that I don't know if we're going to be part of it or not yet. We're still working out the details, but the event itself is right up the alley of the people who are into Halloween and would listen to this podcast.
So, and this is the one that's at the mortuary?
Yes. I don't know which mortuary, but was that another earthquake?
Might have been another earthquake right now.
Or a crazy neighbor. We're really not sure.
Yeah, so movie festival in a mortuary. Come on, guys.
It's the first annual, and the guy who's putting it on is very passionate about Halloween, and this sounds like it's going to be incredible. So definitely more info as we get it, but I wanted to put the feelers out there that there's already a film festival in Mission Viejo. This is a separate thing.
Is there info on where they can get info? Like, what's the website?
I don't even think there's a website.
What's the socials?
It's still baby brand new.
Hmm.
I mean, I think it's the first time he's producing something.
Yeah.
So I think he's still figuring all that stuff out. And power to him for putting on something like this. But it sounds like it's going to be super sweet. But as soon as we know, I mean, of course, Tales from the Fog is going to post about it. And, you know, we'll let you know whether or not DB is involved. We'll let you know what's going on because it sounds really fun.
It does.
Anything else in our home?
I think that's it. Yeah. Anything else going on with you?
No, man. I'm just excited to heal up and
get ready for the haunt season.
Oh, man. I can't wait.
It's going to be super fun.
Heck yeah.
All right, guys. I think that's it. You can follow us on Facebook at Tales from the Fog. You can follow us on Instagram at Tales from the Fog. Like and rate us on, or subscribe and rate us on iTunes. That'd be really awesome. Help get the word out about the podcast. You can follow Veronica on Instagram at
Veronica Voices.
You can follow the DB YouTube page at Decay Brigade Official. Mm-hmm. There's not much on there currently because we keep being told to hold on to the videos that I have and not post them yet due to things and stuff that I can't talk about.
However, if you search on YouTube for Decay Brigade, you will get a slew of stuff from our latest shows.
Yeah, but we have some really amazing produced videos, like legit produced videos of the shows this year. But I can't post them yet. So you'll see them eventually.
If you're looking for Decay Brigade merchandise, we still have items available left over from our shows. Go to decaybrigade.bigcartel.com, or you can go just to decaybrigade.com and you can get to our website, our merchandise from there.
Yes.
Some of our stuff is discounted. So look for last year's models. You can get it at a pretty sweet discount. We've got some pretty sweet items that pay tribute to our lost friend Nelson. You can get those there. You can get our 2017 and 2018 merchandise.
And if you ordered stuff from us that we ran out at Midsummer Scream and you haven't gotten it yet, email us at decaybrigade@gmail.com because they should have shipped out on Monday. And if you haven't gotten them yet, that probably means that it didn't get shipped out. But we can at least check on it for you, and if not, fix the error. Mm-hmm. I've gotten a couple email or direct messages on Facebook saying, "Hey, I didn't get my stuff." So if you haven't gotten your stuff and you did order something from Midsummer Scream, send the details of your order, what you got, who you are, and we'll look it up and make sure it was shipped out to you.
We want to make sure you've got your swag, baby.
Yep. And I believe that's it. So until next time, guys, we'll see you in the fog.
Bye, guys.
Bye.